And good evening, everyone. This is Mulberry Blue Shimmer in an AboveTopSecrets.com member podcast reply to True American's reply to my podcast in his pod thread entitled Foreign Language Signs. And you ask me, mate, how do I feel about the ethnic groups here that I spoke about last night in my last podcast? And how does it make me feel seeing these foreign language signs in my country, which is, I guess, essentially an English-speaking country? And you know what? That's a really curly question, because I guess the short answer to it is I've never honestly thought about it. As I said in my last podcast, Australia's always had Chinese immigrants, and I guess Melbourne, to a certain degree, it's a very Melbourne perspective. We've always had those signs around. We have always had Chinatown. Chinatown's always been there. That was the original Chinese settled area during the Gold Rush, when they first came out here. That's always been there. You always walk down there and see these signs and see the growth and everything. That's always there. In my lifetime, and I'm in my early 30s, my parents' generation, of course, who express a lot of opinions similar to yours, often, you know, complain about it, but I'm just so used to seeing it. I'm so used to Oakley having the Greek population it has. I'm so used to Richmond and Victoria Street having the Vietnamese population it does, and seeing the signs around there. I'm so used to Lygon Street being the Italian area, and, you know, a lot of Carlton being the Italian area. I'm just so used to seeing that. And interestingly enough, a lot of those traditional things, some people here are lamenting because they're slowly being squeezed out. They're very close to the inner city, so they're being squeezed out further and further. And that a lot of people are actually complaining about. But I'm so used to seeing them. As I said, that there are, you know, other elements, such as my parents' generation and, you know, a lot of older Australians who, you know, do express similar views to yours. And also there's, you know, extremists in any society. Like, if you've ever heard or seen a film called Romper Stomper, you can look it up on the internet. That's about a group of skinheads in a suburb called Footscray here in Melbourne. And no, I'm not saying you're a skinhead or anywhere near, you know, that kind of extreme, but that's a very interesting perspective on, you know, sort of their feelings and, you know, extremist groups in Australia. But to me, and in my experience, it's an Australian thing to see. It's just part of my culture. I'm just so honestly used to seeing it. To me, Australian culture is little groups with those kind of signs around, and, you know, things like that. You'll have to forgive me rambling. It's quite late here, and I've been sitting here all night trying to figure out how to answer you. So I guess though, in a bit of empathy to what you're saying, what I see as more of a predatory and an invasive thing is, I'm going to put a disclaimer on this, that I'm not against any particular country, I'm just using examples. The franchises that come out, not only from America, because whenever anyone hears the word franchise, you often think of American fast food, but also the English and Irish pub franchises that are coming out. I empathise with you to that degree, because I often think this about them. I'll give you an example. The first time I ever went to Sydney, and I'm strolling around the Rocks area. This is the first area of English settlement here in Australia, or European settlement, or whatever you want to call it. This is where the first fleet rolled up with their prison hulks, with their cargoes of convicts who had been, you know, chained under and suffering from scurvy, and they rolled down the gangplank after pulling up to the shore. And someone strolled down and walked out, and that's where they set up, you know, the penal colony. It's the oldest area of European settlement in Australia, and I'm strolling around, and I'm going, cool. okay, where did he set, you know, where was the first step taken? And, oh, look, here's the first well that the convicts dug for the colony. It still exists, to my knowledge. And, oh, look, here's where, you know, they had the plague in the early 20th century. And then I turned around and there's a McDonald's staring me at the face in amongst these old heritage buildings. And especially since the Free Trade Agreement went through, especially since then, we're seeing a lot more of those kind of franchises. Like, McDonald's has been here for years. So has KFC. Hungry Jack's has been here for years, which incidentally is Burger King. The story goes that someone registered the Burger King name, and when Burger King actually came out, he wanted a lot of money for them to use it, and they went, stuff you, we're calling it something else instead. Which turned out to be Hungry Jack's. But you walk in and it looks exactly like a Burger King does in the US. And off the top of my head, I can't think of any others, but, you know, we have had a lot of American franchises, and you drive out now to places in the middle of nowhere and you will see the signs of X amount of kilometres to Melbourne and 800 to Sydney and 1200 to Adelaide or whatever the hell it is to Darwin, and McDonald's next stop. It's like, what? And the same with the English and Irish pub franchises. Now, I love the kind of traditional Irish pub. You rock down there and there's a bunch of Irish Irish musicians, and they're playing proper Irish music, and that to me is cool. The ones that I'm talking about that piss me off, and they are ramping up everywhere, and I'm so sick of them popping up because they're taking over the real Australian pub scene, which is incredibly cool and laid back, and you basically go and get pissed, and there are no dart boards anywhere, because usually in an Australian pub you'll end up throwing them at each other after a few beers. That kind of pub scene. The ones where they should hand out plastic leprechauns with the pints of Guinness. The ones where there's so many English flags around that not even an English pub would look like this. They are the ones I see as invasive. So, to me, I have empathy with your feelings of invasiveness. But from my perspective, and I can only talk from mine, and, you know, probably, I guess, you know, some of my friends who, you know, we were talking about this recently, feel the same way. It's more those kind of franchises, the cliches, the worst of the country's culture coming out and taking over the traditional Australian culture, which to me does encompass foreign language signs. They annoy me more, and I feel more invaded by those than I ever did or do by seeing Greek, Italian, Lebanese, Chinese, Vietnamese, any other E's signs in Australia. So I hope that answers your question. If you have any further questions, please let me know. And same for anyone else listening to this. I don't mean to offend anyone with it, in particular in my comments on franchises, but, you know, that's my opinion on them. This is Mulberry Blue Shimmer saying goodnight.